Shadows Literary License Podcast episodes. Ben Stokes here, exploring all things Collinsport, Maine, and following the likes of the Collins family, and the friends and foes, with your co-hosts, Tom Diamond, Jesse Fuchs, Mickey Ray, and Keith Chalgo, Collins family, story about blood relations, literally. Hello, everybody. Tom Diamond here, Dark Shadows co-host for Literary License Podcast. And boy, have we a treat for you today.
You sure do.
Yeah. And who do you think that is? And I'll give you three guesses, guys. Number one.
Guess who?
Yeah, it's not Laura Parker, unless she did something to her voice.
I did something to my voice.
And it's not Jonathan Frid. I want you. It's not him. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Christopher Pennock, who has been around for 40 years, starring on and off Broadway, has done, and aside from Dark Shadows, has done many films and television shows in repertory and experimental theater. And, of course, on Dark Shadows, 40 years, how does it feel to be? How did it feel to be around that long, Chris?
Huh? Well, it's fun. It's fun, although some of it is really fucked up.
There you go. There you go. And apologies to the fans who are actually flinching at Chris's sweaty language. But to know Chris is to love him, and one thing that you have to say about Chris is that he will tell you like it is. He's very earthy. He'll call a spade, as well as hearts, clubs, and diamonds. that's an adequate description of you, I think. Okay, so
this is going to be fun.
Absolutely. So for everybody's information, and I'm sure the fans know about this already. So let's see. You were Jeb Hawks in the Collins of 1969, right after Collins. You were Cyrus Longworth in Parallel Time. You were Sebastian Shaw when they came back from 97. I think you were Jeb Hawks before 1897, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. And of course, the two Gabriel Collinses.
You already blew it. What about John Yeager?
Well, that's Cyrus. I said Cyrus Longworth, and of course, John Yeager, absolutely. Well, I think of Cyrus because he's such a gentle soul, and you played him so well. And then, of course, we can't forget John Yeager. And the two Gabriel Collinses, I haven't finished yet. Gabriel one in 1840, Gabriel two in Parallel Time 1840, and of course, let us not forget Gabriel Collins in The Night of Dark Shadows. And from there on, he has done other stuff which he's going to tell you and us about, including his cartooning background. He wanted to be a cartoonist from a very young age, and in fact, he's going to regale us today with something from one of his comic books, if I hope you have that handy, Chris, regarding the Dark Shadow series. He actually wrote cartoon comic books based on his experiences on the Dark Shadow set, which is really cool, and I personally can't wait to see that. But now let's go back to June 7th, 1944, a date that will live in infamy.
Guess what? That was a lie.
Oh, you lied about your age?
We're hearing it here. It's 1943. I'm 76. I'm older than Robert Mueller.
Oh, my God. Oh, even Robert.
2 years older than Robert Mueller, for God's sake.
Oh, my God. So there you go. You can.
What do you expect from me, people?
Robert Mueller could pat himself on the head over that one. So you heard it here, friends. He lied about his age. He didn't get a job.
All right, 19.
I also lied about my birthplace.
You're not. It's not Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
No, it's not, and it's not Moose, Wyoming.
What is?
It's New York City, Doctor's Hospital in the Bronx.
Wow, wow, that's a long wow. They don't have Doctor's Hospital there anymore.
Yeah. A lot of great people were born in the Doctor's Hospital. That's not right. Me, but they were great people.
Ah, and so when did you move to, were you ever in Wyoming? When did you move there, if so?
We would spend the summers in Wyoming at a dude ranch called the White Grass Ranch in Moose, Wyoming.
Wow.
My mom and my dad and me.
Wow.
And a bottle of booze and a bottle of bleach. We would go to town, and I fell in love for the first time at the White Grass Ranch with Wendy Carvalho, little blonde from Connecticut. They were very rich. They had a white Cadillac convertible. I fell madly in love with her. We had a wonderful romance, 13 and 13, until she went to Yellowstone National Park and came back. And she fixated on Dave Junkett. Dave Junkett was 15. He had pimples. He was older. He was bigger. He had more maturity, and she fell in love with Dave Junkett. And I watched this whole thing from my horse walking around the corral. Heartbroken. Totally heartbroken. I never recovered. I'm still, I keep trying to find Wendy Carvalho and see what happened.
I'm going to see
if she disappeared.
I'm going to see if we can get the Robert Cobert music to put in the background while you're talking about this when we broadcast. So we'll have a little Dark Shadows music into the background. But I had a great story about Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So you were never there at all?
No, it was a ranch.
It was the ranch at Moose.
We went to the ranch, to the dude ranch. Also, many years later, at the age of 20, I returned to Jackson, Wyoming as an actor.
Okay.
In the Pink Garter Theater. The Pink Garter Theater was a melodrama musical theater. We would round up the dudes. We would round up the audience in the town square by acting out a hold up, and we'd arrive in our stagecoach, and Clover the Killer would come out and shoot his guns and kill us, and then we'd get up again. And one night I was the town drunk, and I was staggering around the town like the town drunk with a beard, and it was my first experience as a character actor. It was wonderful.
Wow.
And I fell in love with acting.
Well, that's
until
go ahead.
My wife is saying, don't, until I was, don't. Oh, but Lynn, I want to tell them. I won't talk about the molestation.
All right. I was going to say, so you grew up in the Bronx then, Chris? Or
hell no, I grew up in Ossining, New York.
Oh, where the prison was. So your future could have taken another course, and I'm glad it didn't. Ossining.
I grew up in Ossining, New York, at my grandfather's estate called Beaver Hill, in the hills overlooking the Hudson and Sing Sing prison.
Wow.
Spent my first 3 years there with wonderful golden retrievers and boxers and a nanny. Everything was great. And then my dad came back from the war at the age of 3 with his bottle and his medals, and he attempted to raise me.
Okay.
And we moved to Darien, Connecticut. Then we moved to Greenwich, Connecticut. Then we moved to Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Then we moved to Princeton, New Jersey.
Wow.
And then I left home
To
act in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
So acting bit you at a very early age, Chris? How old were you?
Art bit me at an early age. At the age of 5, I was a fucking genius. There I was drawing in the National Crayon Art Competition, the Milton Bradley National crayon art competition.
Oh, my God.
Which I won at the age of 5. I was the best artist in the country. I drew a picture of John Wayne stabbing an Indian from the movie Red River, which I had just seen with my dad. And they thought that was the perfect depiction of a man digging, which sort of symbolized the American spirit. And I said, no, that's a fucking cowboy killing an Indian. They said, no, that's a man digging, and we like it. So you win a $500 savings bond.
Hey, that's not bad.
And a little plaque, which I still have. Mm-hmm. I have spent the money. Mm-hmm. And I was off and running with art. I didn't really get bitten by the acting bug until I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I was in Billy Budd. I should have played Billy, but I played Captain Veer. And even then, I had problems with my learning the lines. So I had to have the script all over this desk on the ship. Billy Budd. Have you ever seen the movie? Probably not.
No, I have not.
Terrence Stamp. He was wonderful.
I've heard of it. I was
so
gonna,
anyway, that
yeah, I was going to say
that was my first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who's talking?
I'm trying to figure that one out. While I'm thinking, you go ahead and talk.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I thought that was really a great gift that they gave you for the crayon competition. I thought they were going to give you those 64 crayons. Remember, you used to get them in 64 sets, I remember, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
With all those colors and saying, wow, you know, that kind of thing. But I was too busy scribbling, fortunately, in coloring books and trying to mess them up to do what you did. So that's so you really did have a talent back then, which expressed itself. And when did you get into cartooning? Because that sounds like a segue.
When did I start cartooning? Well, let me think. I think it was inspired by the Zap comics of Robert Crumb and Art Spiegelman and all those guys. And I thought, wait a minute, I can draw these things and I can be sexy and funny and drug induced and all kinds of crazy things that were coming out of the 60s.
Yep.
And my life was definitely getting very interesting with my first LSD trips. So I wanted to draw it all. So I started drawing autobiographical sort of fantasy. I was always drawing little fox-faced characters. Everybody has a fox face. And for some reason, I know why, because I love Br'er Fox and Uncle Remus and Br'er Bear. And I especially love Br'er Fox, so I wanted to be Br'er Fox. So I started drawing everybody with, actually, the John Wayne character in the Red River thing had a fox face. And the Indian that he was killing also had a fox face.
There you go.
Isn't that wonderful?
There you go.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's great. Well, let's go back now to high school now. This is in your life like Slaughterhouse Five, you know, where they go. Now, what did you do when you were a kid? Now, what did you do when you were an old man? Now, what did you do when you were a teenager? Well, let's go to, now you were in high school and the acting bug first bit you. And that was Billy Budd, you said you did?
Yeah, that was my first play, Billy Budd, and then Darkness at Noon. Mm-hmm. And then I go off to college, Hobart College, and I was still trying to please my parents, you know, because they didn't really take my acting seriously or my cartooning seriously. So they sort of wanted me to be a normal young preppy guy.
How dare they?
Except I was never even close to that.
Yeah.
So I go off to Hobart College in Geneva, New York. Oh boy. And I started drinking alcoholically there and getting into massive trouble with my grades. And then I got thrown out, and then I came home and I was going to join the Marines, the Special Forces. And then I decided, no, I don't think I will do that because I don't support this crazy war, the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. So I started working in a shipyard and a few other crazy jobs. Oh, yeah, I was in a warehouse Toys R Us warehouse.
Wow.
And all that stuff. And then I, oh yeah. And then I did a summer job at that ranch that we used to go to when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was a chore boy wrangler. And I got fired from that somehow. I wasn't a very good chore boy wrangler. I don't know what the hell was going on. I was usually living in a fantasy life. And what happened? Oh, yeah. I went down, the ranch was in Moose, Wyoming. I hitchhiked down to Jackson where they have this theater, Pink Garter Theater, and I auditioned for it. Mm-hmm. And they loved me. So the next year, after I got thrown out of college yet again, I remembered, wait, some people wanted me to do something for them. They wanted me to act and sing and dance. And my mom and dad said, great, anything. Go, Chris, go. So I flew out there the next summer, started acting at the Pink Garter Theater, fell in love with acting, fell in love with my leading lady. Was molested, never mind. And
we almost heard
sort of started down. Everything.
Yeah, we almost heard you were having mulled wine. That's what it was, right?
That I was mainly tequila, actually.
Oh wow!
Mainly
oh, wow.
Tequila. Yeah.
Bourbon sour is my favorite.
Are you a friend of Bill's?
Bill's? Who's Bill? Who's Bill? I have a number.
Bill Wilson, the founder of AA.
No.
That's just a way of saying, are you a recovering alcoholic? I am.
Well, I never had the fortune or misfortune or whatever, but you sure could have. But are you serious about that? Because if that is, that's very courageous for you to come out and say that.
I'm sorry, I said, switching you to speakerphone.
Oh, okay. I was saying, if you were serious about saying that you were a recovering alcoholic, because that's very courageous of you to say that. If you are indeed that, because that could.
I tell it like it is, brother. Well, brother Tom.
You heard it here, fans, and I'll tell you that is really something, because I don't think every actor with an issue like that would just come out and say, hey, I had something and I conquered it, and I'm here today to talk about it. And I think that's a good thing if there's anybody out there who actually is having a similar issue in terms of that. You can look for Chris.
Villagers, all my villagers out there, if you have a drinking problem, I would suggest you quit drinking and get your ass over to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or CA, Cocaine Anonymous, or NA, Narcotics Anonymous, or EA, Emotions Anonymous. There's a lot of anonymous, wonderful support groups out there, and that's what got me off the booze and the drugs and everything. So changed my life, got me into a wonderful spiritual life. So, and you know, you can meet famous people in your AA group like I did. I can't say who they were because they're supposed to be anonymous. But that
of course, you know, to explain to the fans over internationally, you know, these are various support groups to deal with the issue, and I'm trying to remember, and of course I'm forgetting what I was going to say, but the bottom line is this is something to be proud of. And so now let's go on. So you're in college and so forth. And what acting stuff did you do before Dark Shadows that sooner or later led to your being noticed for that?
Well, I was thrown out of Hobart College for the final time. And my dad and I, well, I was kicking the furniture around the house a lot, you know, the day I found out. And he said, no, come on, you're an actor. I said, thank you. He said, yep, you're an actor. Let's go to New York. My dad took me to New York City. In an hour, I was meeting Stella Adler.
at the Stella Adler School of Acting. I was meeting Michael Kahn at the Circle in the Square School of Acting. I was meeting Francis somebody or other, I forgot her last name, at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. I was meeting somebody else at the Neighborhood Playhouse. All in one day, I was suddenly an actor, about to go to acting school. And, you know, it was the end of this nightmare of trying to live my parents' life and trying to do things that I really didn't want to do. Finally, I had acting, and I never stopped. Thank God. Thank God for acting. You know, it's a horrendous profession to be in, but it's a wonderful art, and it's, it's been my life.
Were you able, how'd you do with learning lines and stuff? Were you one of those quick studies, or was it hard for you?
No, I was always a terrible line learner, which really made it extremely catastrophic to be an actor in Shakespeare. Can you imagine? Yeah. And actually, I was in a production of Hamlet. I was playing Claudius the King. On my entrance, opening night, I make my entrance and I go up. I forget my lines completely as I made my entrance, and I had to start improvising in iambic pentameter. It was terrifying. But I got through it. Luckily, we closed in two nights, so I never had to do that again. I did do some more Shakespeare after that. I played Gloucester in King Lear. And I'll probably do King Lear at some point with an earpiece like Pacino. I'll have a little earpiece. Beep, 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 prompting me when I forget my lines.
That's funny.
I love Shakespeare. I love Shakespeare, and I love wonderful Shakespearean actors like Ian McKellen's King Lear, like Richard Burton's Hamlet, like Nicole Williamson's Hamlet, like, oh, so many wonderful actors, and they're usually British.
And Jonathan, of course, was a Shakespearean.
Jonathan was at Stratford, yeah. Actually, after the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, where I went, my first sort of professional job besides the Pink Artist Theater in Wyoming was carrying a spear and playing little tiny roles at the Shakespeare Festival in Stratford, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Friend had just been there. And there was a famous story about Jonathan Friend, who made an entrance in whatever Shakespearean play he was doing. He made an entrance, but it was not the right time. He walks on stage. He's about to say his line. He realizes he's in the wrong scene, and he says, "Oh, shit!" and walks off. That was Jonathan Friend. I've heard some people telling that story at the Actors Studio a few years ago. And I always wanted, and this is the first time I told that story. I'm sure Jonathan never told it.
I never heard it. may rest in peace. I'm sure he's looking down at you and grimacing. You're going to hear it here, all the fans. You're going to hear it here. The secrets are going to come out. That's for sure. But that is, and you know, it's interesting because, you know, thinking of your roles in Dark Shadows, I think there was a certain amount of pathos and agony, and, you know, and of course, Gabriel from getting with the wheelchair and everything. And I could just see that translating into a Shakespearean character in terms of the emotional angst.
Yeah.
What a character, huh? What a wonderful character.
Oh my God.
I was very lucky with my characters.
Oh, absolutely. The funny thing about Jeb now, I didn't tell you this, but, you know, and we're going to talk about it, but of course the fans will remember that black paper cutout monster that went after half the cast.
We'll forget that. That was as embarrassing as the bat. The bat that sort of flew in and squeaked and was terrifying everybody.
Oh, it was
and
fun.
The bat was such a fake little bat.
Well, no, but this was fun. My fiance called. She was thinking of Inspector Clouseau and Peter in the Pink Panther, who couldn't pronounce monkey, so he said minky. So every time that monkey said, "Oh, there's the minky," and I used to tease her. I said, "So now when you fall asleep tonight, you wake up, there will be the minky." She goes, "Get out of here! Get out! I didn't know." You sleep on the couch tonight. That's all. I don't want to hear anymore. So every time that we were looking forward to the monkey, it was really quite fun. So how did you get noticed then for Dark Shadows? What were you doing, and who, what, when, where, and why?
I was in a Broadway play called A Patriot for Me. And the casting directors, Linda Otto and Jerry Windsor, were in the audience. And the part I played, it was strange. It was at the end of the first act. And The Patriot for Me was about homosexuality in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And Maximilian Schell was a star. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the first act, he's finally coming out of the closet. And he has a hustler in his bed, a naked man. That would be me. The naked man gets out of the bed.
That your wife?
And the lights come up a little bit, and the naked man comes out of the bed. That would be me.
Yep.
And I get out, and I start dressing, and the audience is gasping, "Oh, my God, he's gay. Maximilian Schell's character is gay. Oh, my God," or "Yay," or "Ah, I'm leaving." And then my friends come in and beat the hell out of him and rob him. You know who my friend was? My partner was Tommy Lee Jones, who was my understudy.
Wow.
Who's now a big star. Wow, and another guy, John Kramer. And the three of us beating the hell out. And then that's the end of the first act. Everybody's in shock. The second act opens up, and there is a drag ball in London or Vienna, and everybody's dressed up as a woman and a man, and the gay is just running rampant through Vienna, wherever it was. And so Jerry and Linda Otto said, I like that Chris Pennock, the naked guy. Oh, yeah, he was good, yeah. Yeah, he had a nice ass, yeah. Yeah, I like him. Yeah, but his eyes, he's got very deep set. I think he'd be good for our show. So they had me in to meet Dan Curtis.
Okay.
And I met Dan, and I was reading for the part of the owner of the antique shop, which Christopher Bernot got instead of me.
Yeah, Philip Todd.
But Dan said, "I'm going to save Chris. I like Chris. I'm going to save him for the thing in the box." And I said, "Oh, wait a minute. Come on. I am an actor. I'm not playing a thing in the box. I want a person." No. The thing in the box is the Leviathan, buddy. The Leviathan. He's a monster with the soul of a hippie. You're going to love this character. And I did. And I got him. And boy, did that change my life.
Did you ever meet the kid?
Oh, by the way, guess what? In the drag ball, guess what? That's where I met my first wife, Marilyn.
Marilyn Joseph. The one who played Lorna in the 1841.
Yeah.
Lorna Bell in the 1841.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And when we got married, probably halfway through the show, and Dan Curtis was there, and Jonathan and David Selby and John Carlin, and I've got a whole bunch of very funny things and a comic book about the wedding.
Wow.
And yeah, wow.
And she was on later, though. She was on during the 1841.
Yeah. Party.
And with Jim Storm, your very good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my best friend up here in Idlewild.
Yep. Yep. And
Jim Storm.
We hope to have him one of these years on the podcast as well.
I told them there's a podcast waiting for you, and Jim never answers my Facebook please, but his fiance does.
Uh huh.
By the way, I am marrying James Storm and Valerie Pronio Peluto, whatever her name is, Saluto and Stalactite. Hopefully I'm marrying them.
Hopefully you'll get their name.
They have no idea what they're in for. I am marrying them.
So are you?
And I'm reading from my comic books.
So are you a minister now as well? Is this?
Hell yeah.
That's,
yeah, hell yeah. I'm a,
that's
I'm
your,
a goddamn minister.
That's your, what do you,
Brother Tom?
Who do you minister to?
I administer to whoever wants me to administer to them.
Ah, there you go. I think, is that your wife in the
background? I am awareness.
That's your wife in the background.
I am awakened awareness. Don't get me started.
Okay, we won't.
Yep, too late. I am awakened awareness.
You are the judge of the quick and the dead. You can take over Jerry Lacey's role as press. You know, you can say, I am the judge of the quick and the dead. I am pure the 07. That's what you can do. When you, hold on a second. All right, there we go. So, what was it?
There was a buzzing. It sounded like an emergency alert, flash flooding. Well, you're back in Florida, right?
Where? Yes, I am. And I was low.
How's the weather?
Raining. It was raining like crazy. And for a minute, I thought we were going to lose the connection. But thankfully that has passed. And I just lowered the intrusive TV, which was, sorry about that, fans. Just goes to show you us announcers are human too. Anyway, so you,
by the way, from now on, we will call my fans villagers.
That's right.
They are my villagers.
That's what I was going to say. For everyone, for everyone internationally, Chris's fans, especially from Facebook, are called villagers, and he will always regale them, you know, saying, "Hello, villagers. What did we do tonight? Did we attack anyone? Did we have our nightly orgies? How many nightly orgies did we have this month?" And so forth.
So you've been around a while in my little universe of madness.
Oh, a little bit. Yep. Just enough to know I've already taken all the necessary inoculations, and
so my wife is finding you very amusing, Brother Tom.
Thank her very much. Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great.
She says I'm fine.
That's great. How does it feel to be married to a character like that?
Well, it's been 30 years, and I'm still hanging in there.
You have my abject sympathy. but that's great. 30 years. So you see that? Hollywood, showbiz marriages last. And that's certainly a tribute.
At least this one, yeah.
Certainly a tribute to it. Well, 30 years, that can't be that bad. But
thanks to all my many support groups.
Ah, well, of course, that all keeps you going. So on Shadows, let's hear a little bit about. You were in a lot of scenes with Jonathan. What are your reminiscences?
Let's see. About the time I was doing scenes with Jonathan, it was also when I discovered Al Pacino in a Broadway show called Does a Tiger Wear a Necktie? And he got the Tony Award that year, and it was the most explosive, amazing, naturalistic performance I'd ever seen in my life. And I kept thinking, I gotta do Pacino. I will do Pacino on Dark Shadows. I will be a method actor on Dark Shadows. All these sort of Shakespearean phony actors, I'm going to just rip them apart. I'm going to be Jeb Hawks, the method actor, Pacino-esque on Dark Shadows. And I tried that. And one of the directors hated that. Henry Kaplan hated my sort of Pacino-esque method acting. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted me to just say the damn lines and hit the, you know, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And he had me in tears one day, and Johnny Carlin almost beat the crap out of him. Henry Kaplan, where are you now?
Did he beat him up? Oh.
Anyway, so we were talking about Jonathan. Yeah, he and I were masters of the teleprompter. We would have these long scenes. We'd be babbling away at each other, but our eyesight was right over each other's shoulders on our own personal teleprompters. so we could just read those beautiful lines and never worry, never worry again that we'd forget the lines. So we were very good at that. And we'd shake hands afterwards and say, bless our teleprompters. Yes, bless our teleprompters.
Did you ever actually look at each other then when you were on the show acting, or were you looking at the teleprompter?
Yes, and when we would, we'd forget our lines again. So we'd go back to the teleprompter.
Oh, that's something. Oh, that's something else. How did you get along with David Selby?
I was mainly extremely jealous of David Selby because he was so good looking. He was so good looking, and he had a huge fan base, and he had just done a Sam Shepard play, and he and never mind, and a few other things. I don't know, can't talk about that either. But yeah, very jealous of David Selby, and the other thing was he was such a nice guy. He was and still is, and I'm still jealous of him. Why was he put on this earth so I would suffer? But not really. I mean, David, I love David Selby. Yeah, very jealous. And he goes off to Hollywood, and I go off to Hollywood, and we go off at the same time. And he's starring in a movie with Barbara Streisand.
Up the Sandbox.
And he's having a, never mind. And he is doing this and doing that. And I am rock climbing in Idlewild and having a spiritual experience, which actually he didn't. So maybe he's jealous of me. I doubt it. But I love David. I'll always love David. I think he's going to outlive me, which the rest probably won't, because David is a vegetarian. He's tall and thin, probably has the blood pressure of a shark and the pulse of an elephant.
Oh, my God.
I think he's going to outlive me.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think they'll probably be...
Although he's sort of frail. I mean, when you hug him, when you give him a crushing bear hug, it's like he's going to break into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
Everybody my age is getting very fragile. Do I sound like a 76-year-old old man?
Nope.
Hell no.
Nope. You sound like it was 40 years ago. And I almost as if I were in the 60s talking.
Yeah. But
wow. And your voice, and you have a projectile voice, which is...
Projectile.
Yeah.
Projectile vomiting.
I was thinking of that one, but I didn't want to. You said it, and I didn't. But no, but seriously, no, that projectile voice of yours, probably, I dabble in voiceovers, but I think you'd be a natural if you ever did voiceovers.
You got a great voice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But you have that kind of very smooth, suave tone, and I'm sure that all the younger gals would go, not realizing it's a good thing you told them you were married for 30 years. But I
have no interest in them. I am happily married. Thank you, Brother Tom.
You're very welcome, Brother Chris. I might ask you to do these services when I get married, but we'll talk about that off the air. I'm in.
I will do it.
You in?
I will do it.
Well, we'll talk about that once we get off the air. But I appreciate that. Getting back to Dark Shadows. You know, of course, we recently lost Denise Nickerson, who played Amy on the show. Did you have a chance to act with her and stuff like that? Because I'm trying to remember if you were on when she was on.
I never acted with her, but we were working the same days a lot. And I remember I hadn't been formally introduced to her, but I'm walking to work off, 50th Street, whatever it is, 58th Street. And I'm walking to work, and there's Denise. And I walk up to her, and we're sort of walking together. And I just gotten back from my honeymoon in St. Lucia with Marilyn.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And my hair was in Haiti, and my hair was sort of in a Rastafarian kind of thing. Uh-huh. And I said, "Hi, Denise. I'm a Rastafarian." And she says, "Oh, yeah? Eat shit and die, asshole."
Oh,
and I go, "What?
Are you there?
What? Denise.
Little lady.
Eat shit and die. Did you hear me? Eat shit and die." I guess she was in a bad mood. And then she kept walking, and I kept walking. And I took my pulse. And I thought, oh, geez. Okay, I heard that, and that was it. She was a precocious young thing.
Oh, I can
our little Denise. Very sweet. Yeah. Very adorable.
Yeah.
A little Shirley Temple she was. Yeah. Oh, just a little Shirley Temple. A little adorable little girl.
One of those.
From the East Side. Chicago.
Well, it's good to hear you.
Michael Jordan.
You've got your Irish throat here. Good to hear you do that too, though. We would love to have an Irish character on Dark Shadow.
Let's do the rest of the show in an Irish accent, mixing in with a Scottish accent, and then we can do a little Italian accent, and then a French accent.
Yeah, Mr. Scott. Mr.
And I can, and then I'll do it in Boris talking.
Well, what about if I did that nice Jewish accent coming to Dark Shadows?
Hello. I had a nice Jewish accent.
I'm looking for the Shixers.
Where
are they in Collinwood? Where the hell are you? What's your matter? So you got Tresk coming in? To hell with Tresk. Why don't you call a rabbi? The rabbi will get rid of it. We'll have a golem on this show. See, they never had a golem on this show. We'll have that night. The night have him fight the goddamn guy. Who the hell needs everybody? We got the thing to do. But I always
bravo.
Thank you. I always wish.
Bravo, man! Bravo.
I wish we could have had a nice Jewish boy on Dark Shadows. That would have been fun. But still. Well, Dan was Jewish. That's as close as Lila Swift was Jewish, and that's as close as we come. You got along well with Lila. She was a very good director for you, wasn't she?
Yeah, better than Henry, that's for sure. Yeah, Lila. I think we got along great. Yeah. Good old Lila. Yeah, got along great.
How are you with Thayer David? How can you tell us a little bit about him?
Oh, my buddy. My buddy Thayer David, yeah. Even after Dark Shadows, we were together in a movie called The Night of Dark Shadows.
Yes.
And then after that, we go right up to Tarrytown, New York, and we're shooting Savages, the first James Ivory Ismail Merchant film. Mm-hmm. And he's in that too. So we got really close. And then after my sort of unsatisfactory foray into Hollywood with Maryland, we moved back and we're on 57th Street and we're living in the same building as Thayer David. And so Thayer and I continued. Yeah, I love that guy. He's so talented. I'm okay. I'm not dying. I'm a young man still, but no, Thayer's great. What a genius. Wonderful actor. Wasn't he, Lynn?
Yeah, no. He was good. Yeah. Can you think of, before we move on from Shadows, can you think of any really interesting either bloopers or in any interesting moments that you'd like to tell about? Maybe one of your favorite scenes, something like that.
Okay, you ready?
I certainly am.
Although I've probably told this many times.
I'm sitting down.
But it's the one that sort of pops up in my consciousness, my awakened awareness. It is John Yeager, Elizabeth Ice playing Buffy, and I was very sadistic with poor Buffy. And I had a cane, and this cane had a knife that popped out of it. There was a little button and the knife popped out of the bottom of the cane.
or the top, I forgot which. And I'd kill people and slice them up and slice them and dice them.
Sounds good.
And there was another cane, but I wasn't sure which one. The other cane did not have a knife in it, but the one cane did. And I was sort of playing with her neck with the bottom of the cane. And I realized, oh my God, the knife is in this cane.
The real one.
And I was about to pop it. And then they were going to switch canes on, but I had the wrong cane. And I was going to slice her neck and decapitate her live on TV in Dark Shadows.
That would have been a great...
And so they managed to slip the other cane in, I think. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But and then it, they called cut, and she let me have it. She just started screaming. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? You're going to kill me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I'm sorry. And it was really awful. It was an awful experience. And that's my blooper.
Oh, my God.
Or, oh, there's another one. There's another one.
Yep, yep.
I had the flu, and I was doing Jeb. I was just starting on the show. I'm totally exhausted. I'm doing 5 shows a week. And I've got the flu, and my sinuses are running, and I've got a bloody nose. And right in the middle of a scene, my nose starts bleeding, and I'm trying to sort of sniff it back. And, you know, I was the Leviathan. I could easily have had a bloody nose. It would have been really cool with my present-day method acting. Anything that happens, you know, happens for the good.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sort of keeping it back in and kind of breaking out in the sweat, and the blood's coming out, and oh, my God. I mean, all this would happen, and your heart's pounding so hard that you can see it through your costume. Boom, 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 boom. And at one point, I told this to Dan Curtis when they put him into the Radio Hall of Fame or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
that I was actually hoping I would have a heart attack when I was doing Dark Shadows, because then I wouldn't have to do the scene. They would have to take me off to a hospital. And I wouldn't have to act that day because it was that terrifying.
It would be real.
True story. True story.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Heart attack.
Those were times. Do you have that comic? do you have that comic book in front of you? Are we gonna hear something from your
reference? Could you go grab a comic book? Which one? All the ones you can, and then I'll pick one out. Lynn's going to go get a comic book.
Okay. That's great. And in the meantime...
So your fiancé saw me on General Hospital?
Yes. Mitch. Yes.
Mitch Williams?
Remembered you. Yes, she remembered you from General Hospital. And you did a few soap operas, as I remember. You did... did you do Guiding Light?
I did Guiding Light. I did Another World Somerset.
Okay.
That was the one I did right after... Shadows, and then General Hospital for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Mitch and Tracy Quartermain, and then The Guiding Light. That was fairly recently, at least, you know, 1990-91.
Were you on
yeah.
Somerset when Marie Wallace was on there? I think she was on there.
I miss Marie. Okay. But I was on there with Lois Smith, the famous Lois Smith, the wonderful actress Lois Smith.
Oh, my God.
And James Earl Jones, and I mean, everybody was on Another World Somerset, and it was a terrible soap opera. We had an insane producer, and we had a family, my family, on that soap, and we all thought we weren't getting paid enough, so we demanded a pay raise.
Hello.
For the next... You know, for the next, oh good, here comes the comic books.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we demanded a pay raise, and guess what? We all got fired. You know how?
No.
He killed us in a plane crash, the whole family. The whole family got killed in a plane crash.
Lynn, you'd better get him some water. You better get him some water. I don't want him to all of a sudden start to asphyxiate. Julia isn't here to give him a sedative. we wouldn't want that. But anyway, which one are you going to read to us from, Chris?
Okay.
And again, everybody, this is a series of comic books that he wrote regarding his experiences in Days on Dark Shadows, good, bad, and different, animal, vegetable, and mineral.
I'm going to start you off with the first one, Fear and Loathing on Dark Shadows.
Great.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me get a little water. My post-nasal drip.
Everybody should get water while he's getting water.
Or pee. If you have to pee or if you have to poop, please go do it. Good time. And then when you come back, sign in, and I'll start reading. Okay.
Go ahead.
This is my very first comic book, Fear and Loathing on Dark Shadows, page one. Darien, Connecticut, 1949, Halloween. And some kids are out there in the moonlight, and they're trick-or-treating, and they say, "Where's Chris?" He said, "We're going to trick-or-treat with us. Where's Chris?" Suddenly they hear, "What's that? What's that?" A horrifying infernal howl. Help! Help! Fear overcame them as they fled. Help! Help! And then out of the night. Mommy! Mommy! Chris Pennock, age five. God, that was fun! His parents. There's something strange about Chris. Yes, the boy is not quite right. And the kid is going, mommy, day with you, mommy, day with you, mommy, day with you, mommy, day with you. In a fatherly attempt to bond, Chris's dad says, "Well, Chris, how about we go to the movies, double feature?" "Oh, yeah, thanks, Dad." And they are seeing The Thing. And Chris is thinking, "I fucking love this." And then they're going to see Them. Giant ants. Now that is scary. And my dad says, "Why didn't you want to see Lassie or Peter Pan?" And then Chris says, "Well, they really don't engage me, Dad." The next year, tragedy struck. Mother says, "I'm sorry to tell you this, darling, but your puppy died." And Chris is saying, "Boris? Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, God, no! Stop! No, no, no! Not Boris! Oh, God, no, it can't be! Oh, Boris, you can't die! No! No, no!" And he buries Boris, and he jumps in the grave and says, "I want to be buried with Boris!" They send him off to the Troubles Doctor, the psychiatrist. "So, Christopher, what comes to mind when you think of death?" And Chris says, "Worms, flies, rancid decay, rainy skies, duckinis, stink, cremation grounds, Boris, success, vampires." Oh, there's another shot of Chris at dinner with a noose around his neck. And his mother is saying, "Oh, what will become of our boy?" And his father is saying, "I'm worried about his future." Twenty years later, New York City, Times Square, 1967. Chris Pennock walks down the rainy Times Square looking exactly like James Dean. And he says to himself, I am cooler than Dean and Brando. I'm going to fucking beat this town. Let's see. Brando and Dean had unhappy childhoods. I did. They played the bongos. Me too. They were moody and angry. Yeah, me too. Vulnerable. Yeah, that's me. They dug up their dead pets. I can't miss. I got this. Okay, let's see. Let me. He says, I gotta get in the actor's studio. Yeah, that's it.
I hear you. Why? Can you turn to something that happened while you were on Dark Shadows that you wrote about?
Yeah, I'm about to get to that.
Okay, great.
All right. Sorry. Let's see. I got to get in the actor's studio. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hi, I want to audition.
Just pretend you got a money.
They said, sorry, this year they just like short, explosive Italian actors. Try next year.
And all you got to do is to do an Italian accent, and you go like this. Because I had a landlord. He talking like
this. Hey, man, come on. Hey, do not interrupt me when I'm reading my comic book, okay?
Okay, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, shit, this is a tough town. How the hell can I find my niche? I'm not short or Italian, but I am explosive. Shit, goddamn it, shit, son of a bitch. At 3 a.m., a cry is heard from 48th Street. I want a woman! Lonely, desperate, with only roaches for company. Hey, guys, I got tickets for a rock concert upstate. Woodstock, you want to go? And he's talking to his roaches. But one day, Stark Heseltine, his agent, called. Hi, Chris, it's Stark. Who? Your agent. Oh, yeah. You got the Broadway show, A Patriot for Me. Whoopee! Only one problem, darling. You're going to have to be naked at the end of Act One. Hell, that's no problem, Stark. Ha ha, naked. And you're dead. And you're in drag in Act Two at the drag ball, remember? I'm in drag and naked on Broadway. This is my dream. Thank you, God. Thank you. He starts working out immediately, doing push-ups. 25, 26. Whew. I'm on Broadway. I got to look good. He memorizes his seven lines and digs deep into his character's psyche. So was it good for you or as it was good for me? Oh, yeah, that's good. He actually becomes Paul the Hustler. He's out there. Hi there. Looking for a good time? Well, actually, I was. What's your name? And Chris says, I'm just kidding. I'm an actor doing research. What? Opening night on Broadway. Was it good for me? Was it good for you? As it was for me. Oh, yes, Paul, yes. Come here. Suddenly, actors Tommy Lee Jones and Paul Michael Glaser rush in. That's right. Get them, boys! And they beat the crap out of him. Salome Jens.
Wow.
Fuck off, big boy. I'm a guy. In the audience were Linda Otto and Jerry Windsor. Bravo, 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 bravo. Casting directors for Dark Shadows, a horror soap opera. The one that played Paul, he had interesting eyes. Eyes, hell, he had a great butt. Yes, I think Dan Curtis would like him. Let's see, Christopher Pennock. Opening night party, Sardis. Salome Jens. Here are the reviews, darlings. New York Times, Daily News, New York Post. Oh, Salome. As Salome Jens reads on. The play, which caused quite a stir in London, is no more than a clumsy anachronism today, with wooden performances from most of the cast, except for a young, exciting actor named Christopher Pennock in the dual role of Paul the male prostitute and the little girl in the drag ball. He electrified the interminable evening with a potent sexuality and a frightening sadistic intensity. It was like being present at that shit. How dare they? Damn it! In other roles, Maximilian Schell was disappointing as Max. Salome Jens grossly overacted her part as the Countess.
Pennock is a young Brando. Salome, he says, I can't go on. It's over.
2 a.m., Times Square. Chris experiences a psychedelic Van Gogh vision.
I am God. I am the all. I am everything.
Back home. Cockroaches, you guys still here? You don't know who I am. Ahem. Next morning. Hey, morning, lover boy. It's dark. Gay magazine loved your performance and your rear end. On to the exciting news. They want to see you for a role in Dark Shadows.
Wow.
In the waiting room at ABC, there's Chris Walken here. John Boyd here. Tommy Lee Jones. Yep. Christopher Pennant. Chris Bruneau. Present. Hey, Chris, I'm Dan Curtis. This punk here is George DiCenzo. He'll read with you. Hi, Chris, I'm really an actor, though I look like Dan. Really? Chris gave an energetic audition. Dan says, that was great, but you know what? I think I'll save him for the thing in the box. Jeb? The thing in the box? Shit, I want a real part. Yeah, I'll give Walken the antique dealer. He said he wasn't simpatico with the part. Well, then I'll give it to Bruneau. Yeah, good one. At the screen test, George gives Chris some advice. Now, Chris, now this line you have here at the end is slow it down. Very, very menacing, always menacing. Excuse me, George, isn't that a little melodramatic? No, man, exactly. That's Dark Shadows. Dan watches the screen test. I like this kid. He's definitely got something. He cries real tears. Wait, you mean I shouldn't be real? I should act phony? Yeah, you got a problem with that? Yeah, but I'm an artist. I got to come from an organic place. Your paycheck! Just say the fucking line slow at the end. Back home with the roaches. Hey, Chris, it's dark. You've got Dark Shadows. Congratulations, buddy.
Yay, thank you. Back up the money truck. I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. I can buy a Nikon. I can buy tabla drums. I can go on a date. Women will like me. I can buy hippie clothes in the village. I can buy food. I can buy dope. I can buy Tony Lama cowboy boots. I can buy bell bottoms, mushrooms, mescaline, LSD, shaving cream, underwear, a place in the city, a place in the country, insecticide. I'm just kidding, guys. New pictures. I can go to a shrink 5 days a week. God, I love life.
He gets his headshots taken by Roy Schett, famous Jimmy Dean photographer. Okay, Roy, can you make me look like James Dean?
No problem, Chris.
And then he does his first show of Dark Shadows. He enters as Jeb. Hey, I think I'm going to like it here. Dan introduces him to... Hey, Chris, I want you to meet your chief rival, David Selby. Maybe between the two of you can get the ratings up. Ha ha! Dave says, hi, Chris. I say, hi, Dave. David gets about 12,000 fan letters a day. Looks like Olivier, doesn't he? Oh, shucks. Yeah, he actually does. David's in the Sam Shepard play, and he holds a doctorate.
Oh, fuck you! I'm jealous. Thanks a lot.
And David says, twin nothing. And then Chris says, nah, you've done it. No, I feel like a malignant dwarf. And then there's This is Laura Parker and Kathy Scott. Hi, cowboy. Hi, sweetie. Hi, sailor. Howdy. I feel better already. Hey, this is Mike Stroka. He plays Bruno. You guys got a storyline together. Hey, brother. If you ever need anything, let me know. I got grass. I got Maui Wowie. I got Michikan Brown. I got 5Ks. I got 200 bucks. I got future storylines. Sold! Hey, Mike, which girls are, available? Stroka says. They've all rejected me. The sluts.
I said, you're kidding me, man. Come on, I'll buy you a beer. They go up the bar at the street at the Brittany. So I say, Nancy, she's got a boyfriend. Grayson, she's married. Laura, she's married. Katie, she's stuck up. Joan? Hey, there's a new one. By now, they're really drunk. There's a new one. Her name is Kate. She's single. She's right out of the American Academy. She looks good. yeah? You keep your hands off her, Bruno. You know, Dan's got really big plans for you, Chris. I say, how big? This is really big. You're going to be the new blonde guy. Roger Davis went to Hollywood. He was blonde? Yeah, Carlin's sort of blonde, but he's in Hollywood. Oh, what the fuck is this, a hair show? Yep. All right, let me give you some advice, Chris. You're too subtle. You got to overact. Yeah? Okay, I'll do it on LSD. Suddenly, the stage manager. Hey, you guys are up. I've been looking for you. Uh-oh, okay. Bruno says, this is a nightmare. Yeah, I said, we're in trouble. That night with the roaches. Wow, what a script. Jeb raises the dead. Cool. He prepares by reading a new book, The Teachings of Don Juan by Carlos Castaneda. Next day in makeup. Hey, Vinny, what's with the hair curlers? Vinny, the makeup guy, says, they want your hair curlier. The network people, they want it curlier. Come on, don't blame me. Vinny, shit, hair curlers? On the set, high on LSD. Come, my friends, wake from your deathly sleep. Rumble, creak, the zombies popping out. Rip their guts out, kill them all, especially Quentin. Bloody, morty villain, remorseless, lecherous, treacherous, kindless villain. And the camera guys are going, huh? Up in the booth, Curtis is concerned. What the hell is he doing? That's not his line. Get thee to a nunnery, farewell. He's doing Hamlet. He's not doing Zeb, he's doing Hamlet. Hamlet, is he insane? Why can't he be this good when he's doing Jeb? What is he doing? Stop off! What the hell is this? Have you lost your mind? Yeah, but in a good way. I'm free. Dan comes out. Cost me $200,000 every time I stop tape. $200,000. But Friddle stops tape. Yeah, but Fred's Barnabas. You're bananas. You're bonkers. No, I'm Jeb Hamlet. Melancholy Leviathan. Suddenly, he goes on a bad trip. Ah, cockroaches, bugs. Ah, bugs. Jeb says, God, he's hallucinating his own. He's hallucinating. There's only one thing to do. They cart him away to Bellevue Hospital. His fans weep. My Chris. The show continues taping. So what happened? The stage manager is playing Jeb? Yeah, he's the only one with the lines. next day in Dan Curtis's office. This is a disaster. We got to recast Jeb. Get me Hollywood. Where's Roger? Where's Roger Davis? He's blonde. Yeah, let's fly him out. Reached in his private jet. Yeah, I suppose I could do it, Dan. But you got to back up the money truck. He's in a big jumbo jet and it says Roger Davis. He's like Trump. He's the Trump of dark shadows.
Oh my
God. Next week, after negotiations with Roger, hold everything. Whoa. Penick is getting fan mail. He's getting letters. He's getting tons of mail. Shit, they love him. In Bellevue Hospital, Psych Ward 6, Chris is in his, all tied up.
in his, what do you call it? To be or not to be, to play or not to, to love, to sleep, to die, perchance to fart. Aye, there's the rub, desire to fart, to act, to so, Morris, I'm coming, fart. Suddenly the door bursts open.
Chris, it's Stark, your agent. Don't you recognize me? They want you back on the show, darling.
Oh, good. I can afford to buy Thorazine. Next day, he is back on the set. Okay, listen, guys, I'm a little shaky, you know. Sorry, I'm okay. Are you sure you are, Chris? You just read it off the prompter, says Boris. I don't understand that. So Chris is got very skilled at using the teleprompter. You don't frighten me, Angelique. I don't even find you attractive. Oh, not the shadow! No! Boo! Roger Davis and Chris, two blondes on screen at the same time on daytime television. No, no, no! Okay, good job, guys. Moving on. Roger says, you know, Chris, I gotta tell you, all that heavy breathing and crying, all that horse shit, you know, we don't do that in Hollywood, man. Really? Yeah. More casual. Gotta be more casual, Chris. Okay, Chris, you two are too laid back. Jeb would never yawn. A month later, Chris, you gotta make Jeb more likable. Chris says, he's a monster. Yeah, but he's got to be a likable, sexy monster. Chris, your fan mail's not so hot. I want you to be like Roger. Chris, Jeb has to be more vulnerable. He's too evil. Charm. That night he falls asleep on the IRT subway, too much Thorazine, with his vampire bites in his neck. And these two women say, shit, that man, he's got vampire bites. Oh my God, it's Jeb Holmes, Dark Shadow. Yeah, you're so bad. I just love you. You're so bad. And then she says, I love you. I think I missed my stop. And that's me. I missed my stop. Sorry, where am I? Honey, you're in Harlem. You're in Harlem. Don't worry, baby. We protect you. We protect your little white ass. 125th Street. He runs out into Harlem, the Apollo Theater. James Brown, he is run over by fans in Harlem. True story. Until, motherfucker, let's see your money. I'm going to grease your ass where you stand. Chris thinks, I am going to die. And a woman comes up. Don't you touch him. That's Jeb Hawks. He is on my story. That's Jeb Hawks? Can I have your autograph? It's for my sister. Oh, okay. To Kalita. Love and peace, Jeb Hawks. No problem. One from old Lady Lucy. Yeah, you're my brother. Yeah. Next day at the studio, hey, Selby, I don't care what anybody says, they love Jeb in Harlem. Selby says, well, I'm real glad to hear that, Chris. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Barbara. It's called Up the Sandbox. Yeah, sure. I'd love to do it. We had two directors, Leela Swift and Henry Kay. Leela says, love what you're doing with your character, Chris. Henry Kay says, I hate that thing you're doing. I hate that. After a particularly horrendous dress rehearsal, Henry strikes. Can't you act? Can't you give us some emotion? You are pathetic. Snips joke. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, action. Carolyn, I love you. I love you so much. I feel such regrets. All I want is to love you. And Carolyn says, oh, Jeb. And somebody says, not bad. If I'm really mean to him, he really delivers. Dan says, too late. I'm going to kill him off. His mail sucks. And then Dan says, but wait, I'm having a vision. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde will make him look like Jack Palance. They'll love him. He can be wimpy as Jekyll and really mean as Hyde. Dan, you're a genius. But can he handle it? That role is classic. He's got to have chops. Dan says, ha ha, fuck chops. Just keep him insecure, Henry. That night at home, Chris, it's Stark. Now, don't get upset. Okay? I'm not upset. You're killing Jeb.
Oh, no! I'm a failure. I'm a dead man. I don't want to die.
Chris, don't. I'm coming, Morris. He wraps a noose around his neck. Chris, don't do it. Don't do it. They want you for... Click. Zzz. The phone is off the hook. Chris is hanging himself in his apartment. Will Chris die before he knows his role would continue? Will the roaches gnaw the rope and save Chris's life? Did another actor resembling Chris play Cyrus Longworth? Watch for Fear and Loafing on Dark Shadows, Part 2.
Da, da, da. Very, very good. Very, very good. Chris, where can the fans and villagers get your comic books if they want to buy them?
P.O. Box 3611, Idlewild, California, 92549.
Okay, so they'll send you a check via snail. What do you do? Take checks, cash? You're not going to take cash in the mail. So I
check
would be good. All right, very good.
$20, and there's about 10 of these.
Okay, so for those who are interested, you know exactly. Send it to Chris. send it to Christopher Pennock at that address. So Chris, moving on. Before we leave Dark Shadows, what are your reminiscences about the Night of Dark Shadows movie? Any interesting stories from that one?
Interesting stories about
bloopers or tense moments or anything like that.
Let's see. Do you remember anything, Lynn?
What about Roger Davis in the bushes?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
This was very shocking. I wandered off from shooting one afternoon, and they're shooting another scene, but I'm still there on the set, you know, up in Tarrytown, New York. And I'm hearing this moaning from the barn, and sort of a moaning and a yelling, and then a little more moaning, and it's a male and a female moaning and a yelling. And I get a little closer and I look and I see two naked bodies in flagrante delicto making the beast with two backs. And it is, who do you think? You have to guess, villagers. A man and a woman making the beast with two backs. Who could that be? That's right. I can't reveal their names, Tom.
God. Thank God.
But there's a comic book version. A comic book version.
And you can buy it. They can all buy it.
And it wasn't a man and a woman. It was two men. And Chris
right.
is going, oh, my God, how could you? This is so disgusting. Oh, Jesus, what's the matter? Loosen up, Chris. Come on, man. It's Roger Davis and John Carlin.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God, it's Roger and John Carlin. Roger Davis. He says, what's the matter? You haven't never seen a guy with a wig before? And John Carlin. Hey, man, we're just experimenting. He's nothing serious.
Oh, you're terrible.
And then I threw up. I threw up when I saw that. But,
you're terrible. You're absolutely terrible. That's well, you answered my question, all right. So anyway, so moving on from this. So once that was all over, By the way, what were your feelings once you realized that on the last day of when Dark Shadows was over, that last day on the set, April 2nd, 1971, the date that will live in infamy, what were your feelings? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was trying to decide which way I was going to commit suicide. Whether I was going to jump off the Empire State Building or just jump in front of a subway. I was going to take sleeping pills. God. I was totally suicidal, motherfuckers. I wanted to die. I wanted to die. I wanted to die, man. But I had a cat and a wife. And, you know, I had to stick around for Marilyn and Missy.
There you go. There you go.
And then I got a movie. I got a movie, yeah. Savages, James Ivory, Ivory Merchant.
There you go.
Where I was playing a naked, you know, savage that was a Siamese twin, joined at the pelvis, naked. That was, poor Marilyn did not like that. And then he becomes a woman. And, you know, I was continuing my strange, very challenging roles. I kept saying, you know, when I had self-doubts, oh, I could see, you know, let Pacino try this one. Let Pacino play Hester. I mean, come on. This is not easy. Anyway, so then that cheered me up. And then off we go to Hollywood. And I ended up waiting tables. I ended up waiting on, like, Marie Wallace or some of the... I mean, it was not fun. So I continued plotting my suicide for many years until I finally got some very good medication, Brother Tom. Mm-hmm. Prozac! Prozac Nation! Very good medication.
It just makes you like...
Also...
it will make you like a vocal.
Also... Yeah. Also... medication and meditation, that definitely helped too.
Very important. Very important. But you were in over 50 guest starring roles on TV, so don't sell yourself short. You were in Hallmark Hall of Fame. You were in Melrose Place. Oh, for God's sakes. And what about when you co-starred with Lisa Richards in Descent? What are your memories of Lisa Richards?
Who?
Lisa Richards. That's not nice. Sabrina, for everybody out there. Sabrina Stewart. Sabrina, the lady in the wheelchair with the white hair, who all of a sudden, from somebody who couldn't speak, who couldn't walk, who couldn't talk, all of a sudden she did a lot of good talking. She really cured. Must have been one of Julia's...
Does not ring a bell.
All right.
Well, no, Lisa's probably one of my best friends.
Good.
One of my best friends, and her third husband was also one of my best friends, except he moved to Colorado. Michael Ebert. She was married to him for 10 years, and they had Gabby, and they had Alex. Alex is a rock and roll star and a globe. Yeah. Golden Globe winner, and Lisa's probably the best actress at the Actors Studio where I work out. She's probably the best actress. She's legendary. She's wonderful.
Oh, we'd love you to reach out to her if you get a chance, but that's...
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Keith will edit that one out, too. But...
listen. I am going to tell everybody you are the man. Oh. If you want a pod... If you want a pod, you can podcast with this guy.
I'm very flattered. I'm very flattered. But let's not forget Keith Chalgo and Vicky Ray, who are the co-hosts of Literary License, and they are what make this click. And I'm just a recent addition, but I'm very, very I'm very, very proud to be part of the effort, and to hopefully represent the fans. In kind of reaching out to you guys, because they're dying to hear stories like this from you, as well as the other surviving cast members. I only wish I could go to Jonathan and start to talk to him. Unfortunately,
he's still with us. He's still with us. He's everywhere.
He's in the grapevine. He's in the umbrella. He's in the sky. He's in the earth. He's everywhere.
He is a dream, one from which he may never awaken. To quote his own line from Dark Shadows, those were great lines. When he killed Dr. Woodard, that was before you came in. But anyway, you were in American Buffalo. Now, I may be running ahead of myself. What other stuff? We talked about your soap operas. We talked about some of the other stuff. You did, and in American Buffalo, where did that play?
At the Town Hall in Idlewild.
Ah, okay.
And I couldn't learn the line, so I carried my script. So it was quite embarrassing. I love you, each and every one.
And I'm sure he means it. Chris, I will talk to you. I will talk to you about the other stuff we talked about, including the wedding when that comes up. I think that's a very, very nice thing. I got to talk to her, but I couldn't think of a nicer gift that you would be giving.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. I'm your man.
I mean, it's absolutely great. Lynn, it was great talking to you and meeting you. And if she's still there. And so I am now going to say, everybody, you have just heard Chris Pennock, who has regaled us with his stories of his career, past, present, and hopefully future. And he is a minister. what church are you in, Chris? What church are you in? What is the religion that you're in?
Tibetan Vajrayana Buddhism.
Oh, you're a Buddhist. Wow. Oh, my God. No, there's a lot to be learned from that. So, everybody, please keep tuning in to future episodes of Literary License Podcast as we explore Dark Shadows as well as other venues. Until next time.
There are times when I look above and beyond. There are times when I feel your love around me, baby. I'll never forget my get you.